Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today is kind of a monumental day in terms of this show's history, because it's the first day that I will be taking your questions about your narcissistic personality disorder abuse issues. And the number to call if you do want to call in is 424-220-1801. Don't be shy. Call in and take this opportunity to get your questions answered. If for some reason you're listening to the show as it's archived, you can always email me ahead of time if you cannot listen to the show live. And the email would be loveyourlife@randygfine.com. So you can email me your questions ahead of time. I will read them on air and then send you the link. So let's get started. We have a caller from area code 361. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited to be your first call. And yeah, and what a great thing this is. And I found you on Twitter, so that's how I found you. So great.
Okay. Awesome. So what would you like to ask me today?
Well, I do believe that I have attracted a couple narcissistic romantic relationships. However, I from looking at myself for a number of years, I feel like it originated with my mother. And so, I don't know, is there anything that you would add to that original mother imprinting in the way that we receive or understand love? My understanding is that I have a distorted viewpoint of what love is. And for example, now I'm in a healthy relationship, but it's like I really can't even feel, it's like I'm missing some kind of receptor to receive and feel the love. So that's what I
right.
got for you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, there is no coincidence, and it is kind of, it is common for those who've been raised with a parent who has a narcissistic personality disorder to then seek it out. What happens when we are children in that kind of environment is that we really grow up without boundaries, without great self-esteem. And so we're very vulnerable to getting into relationships that do not have boundaries, and also relationships where we really are susceptible to somebody sort of taking over. Does that ring true for you at all?
Yes, yes, and I want to run. That's typically that's where I go with it. If they just, yeah, I start to get
you, okay, so you want to run when what happens? As soon as it gets
when I start to feel like they're entrenching upon my freedom, my expression, or just getting too close, I guess.
Right. You know, and that's the healthy part of you that's experiencing that, because what happens is people that stay, as a matter of fact, I just did a YouTube video about the perfect partner for a narcissist. And the fact that you get into these relationships with these people who have this disorder or really are not healthy-minded and don't have boundaries themselves means that there is a part of you that is very healthy, because you start to feel the oppression of it. You start to feel that, like I say in my video, the ickiness of that feeling. It doesn't feel right. It feels oppressive. It feels like it's crossing all kinds of boundaries, and it makes you want to run. Do you experience that? Have you had any healthy relationships?
Yes, I have. I absolutely have.
Okay. Yes. Okay, and what happens in those relationships?
For the most part, I feel like I'm pretty happy. I feel like I'm pretty balanced. I still feel there's some part of me that's just not able to receive it, and that's the pain that I feel like I'm having right now. There's, you know, there's a very healthy, happy, good, generous man in my life, and I just find myself just almost like spacey or something, just not even able to feel it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not sure it could be something completely different, but I feel like it's related.
Oh, I definitely think, excuse me, I definitely think it's related. You know, we're not used to feeling love. I mean, I'm the daughter of a narcissistic mother. We're not used to feeling love. We don't know what love really feels like. I mean, I know for me, you know, I had a really twisted idea of what love is. You know, I thought love was supposed to be painful, dramatic, all these kind of things, you know. And so for me, I got into relationships that were painful and dramatic because that was what was very familiar for me. And to be with someone who was normal, so-called, quote-unquote,
yes,
was difficult. I didn't recognize that kind of love. And so the same may be true for you. Did you have two parents in the home?
I did. Yeah, I kind of get the double barrel. You know, I won't go into the whole story, but my father, when he divorced my mother because he could only take so much of her abuse, he actually abandoned me. So I have like this abandonment thing, and then I have like this enmeshment thing, and so it feels. And then I have a soul thing of just being like a priestess. I have a very isolating energy, but yet the greatest thing I want is connection. And I know there's not one easy answer, but even just talking about it out loud seems to help.
Right.
So
well, the
yeah.
answer is, and with, you know, it all comes down to with any issues with NPD abuse, it all comes down to getting to the source of the problem, and that is understanding the abuse that you suffered from your mother and your father and the abandonment. Because if you try to move on with your life without healing that part of it, it's not, you cannot move forward, and it will keep haunting you for the rest of your life. So, you know, I'm really, really strong about making sure that you work through these issues, because there's so many more issues than you can possibly even be aware of. The abuse that children suffer at the hands of a narcissistic mother is so detrimental to their development that because what they do is they try to stop your development, in a sense, your healthy development as a person, you know, going through the natural stages. They try to inhibit that because by you pulling away and becoming independent, that takes away from their narcissistic supply. So I don't know how well-versed you are in all these terms, but
I understand exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we as, you know, as children of narcissistic abuse did not grow up in a normal fashion. So, you know, and then when we get to have these adult relationships, we're not quite there yet, because we don't have those normal developmental stages. So there are hindrances that you're experiencing, and there's no accident. You know, this all goes back to your childhood pain. I do recommend that you make sure that you get this issue addressed and get it out. How do you feel your boundary system is?
I think it's fairly healthy, but I do find myself the way I deal with it is just I pull away and I keep to myself. So I kind of set a really strong boundary there. I don't know. I think I need some work on it. I will mention that I did do family constellations work about the mother like 3 weeks ago. And what's interesting with that, Randy, is that after I did it, I honestly developed a rash on my chest and my heart area. So I took that as, on one level, I was releasing a lot of the sadness, anger, and grief that I had experienced. But I'm sure there's another layer to go to, though. So I have been working on this. But what else do you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that can take, you know, it can easily take a year of constant work on it. There's really no shortcut to this. And like you say, the fact that this, you know, that you did break out in this rash and everything like that, this stuff is so incredibly deep that you've got to peel away at the layers, and you won't believe what you find when you get to the bottom of this. You know, I work with people a lot with this problem, and they sometimes children that are raised in a family like this don't even realize that they were abused because the abuse.
I didn't know it until I was like 45. I had no idea. I knew I was.
Yeah.
I knew I had married narcissistic men, and I have been working on this for about 2 years. You know, focused on this mother wound thing. And, but yeah, I didn't know it until I was like 44, 45 years old.
Right. And that was really the same with me. We don't, you know, and sometimes people will say to me, you know, I think my mother was narcissistic or whatever. And I'll say, oh, were you abused? And they'll say, oh, no. And then as we begin to talk, all these things begin to come out. And they realize that, oh my gosh, because it's all we know. We don't know any other kind of parenting, you know? So it's very, very confusing to know what is right and what is not right. And it's so important to get that support and that clarity so that you can understand what is true, healthy relationship and what is not, because we get confused. You know, and until the work is really done and all that comes out, that will continue to keep happening with you, with relationships and with this feeling of, you know, not being able to accept love. So I really recommend that you do some pretty serious work on this issue. Get it done once and, you know, once and for all so that you can go on. I mean, you know, you say you suffered into your 40s with this until you finally understood. Just get it done once and for all so this doesn't have to pervade, you know, in your life. I mean, I have two sisters who didn't really start embracing this until their 60s. You know,
wow.
That's a lot of wasted time. So that is my recommendation to you. It is all related. I can assure you that it all is related. And once you get that done, you'll be so much better in these relationships, okay?
Thank you. Yes, and you're doing important work, so thank you for doing this. It's so important.
Thank you. And you know what? Go to YouTube and go to the Randy Fine channel and listen to the one about the toxic narcissists and their toxic partners. Listen to that one, and I think a lot of that will hit home for you, okay?
Thank you so much. I will
all
do
right,
that.
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye. Have a great day. I wish you well in your recovery. Now we have a caller from area code 203. Good morning. This is Randy. How are you?
Oh, hello, Randy. My name is Arlene.
Okay. Hi, Arlene. And what is your question?
Sisters and I were raised by a very cool woman, and it was a father that supported completely everything that she did to the detriment of the children. So it was crazy because which way was up, which way was real, and now as adults we are having a real serious problem. Two sisters contact, the third sister keeps vacillating back.
You're breaking up. Okay, say that again.
You hear me better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The third sister is vacillating back and forth, but the thing is, it's so destructive that it's taken us a lifetime to get over it. Just like you said, it's like you've lived in our shoes. My question is, how do you stay firm? You know, the worst thing sometimes is to contact these people, and yet it's very hard to not, because you still feel some sort of loyalty, even to the abuser.
Right.
So can you help me with that? And also, like the other girl just said, I feel that the work you're doing is amazing and so timely, and I can't wait for your book to come out. I so need it. And the more people I talk to, because I don't keep this a secret, the more people want to hear about it. So thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, that vacillating is so common. And there's a lot of guilt feelings around this whole thing. And we, as children, we're taught that mother is the center of our world. We're taught that she relies on us, that she needs us. And so we spend a lifetime trying, and we also work overtime trying to please her, because we please her because we don't want to experience the rage that happens when we don't. So it's just built into us that we want to please our mother. And, you know, I mean, with my mother, she just always made it feel like she just couldn't function without us. And so there was a lot of guilt, and there's, you know, like I was saying in the other one, with the other lady, there, the boundary issues are a big, big problem, because narcissistic parents do not like boundaries. They don't want boundaries. So there's an enmeshment that goes on for a lifetime, pretty much, between the children and the parent. And that enmeshment is really, really hard to break, because you cannot see the division, you know. You know, it's interesting, because I've talked to several people who will say to me, well, my mother's a narcissist, but I can't go no contact because she's a widow and she's already lost a child. And my father, I'm all she has. And my sisters and brothers don't, you know, they don't really call her as much as I do or whatever. And what I say to those people is that, you know, first of all, I say, well, narcissists in general have a social life. They have lots of people they keep in touch with on a regular basis. So I say, well, do they have friends? Well, yes. And you do have siblings? Yes. Well, if something happens to your mother, other people will find out about it, and then you will find out about it. You don't have to be the one person to keep up this relationship, you know, to make sure your mother's okay. You know, that is one issue. And, you know, another thing is that what we don't realize is that a lot of times we feel like we're so important, like we really, really need to be in our parents' life and to keep up with this relationship. But they replace us the minute we're gone. I mean, my mother, as soon as I went into therapy and stopped talking to her, my mother replaced me right away, you know?
Who'd she replace you with?
She replaced me with my father's nieces. I mean, you know, and that was almost a relief for me. Wow, she doesn't really need me or depend on me like she always made me feel like. So does that help at all?
Very, very much so. So the mother's birthday is coming up now. It's always a Mother's Day, birthday.
You're breaking up again. Try it again.
I feel like...
Wait, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Right, you can be... Hold on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me better? Can you hear
me
better?
I think so, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry for that. Mother, it's her, whether it be birthday or anniversaries or Mother's Day or whatever it is, that's a tough time for us daughters, because we want to be a daughter. We want, you know, we feel like, oh, I want to have a mother I can send and care for, and yet you know you shouldn't, because you're only going to get slapped in the face again.
Right. That is such a hard time for all of us.
It's nice to know there's others. And I think just knowing from you that this is such a common problem, because for years you feel like you're just all by yourself. So thank you again, drawing all of us together so we know there's support and we're not alone in this. And I feel like I have a friend. I have a friend down there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, this thing with Mother's Day, it's all about, it all comes down to acceptance of what your reality is. Acceptance that you do not have a mother, that this is a mother that doesn't love you. This is a mother that cannot love you. And this is a mother that is only going to use you for very short periods of time. You're only as good to her as what you can give her in that very moment. And then that's gone.
That's
so fleeting. Right. That's fleeting. That's gone the minute you hang up the phone or you leave from your visit or whatever. And so this guilt feeling of having to send a card or call or whatever, when you understand that this isn't anything that's going to give you brownie points, it's nothing that's going to last, when you finally can come to terms with that, that this is not a mother. This is not a mother. This is a mother only in biology, you know,
okay.
Biologically. This is not
right.
A mother, you know. And so we have to learn to get our needs met elsewhere. And that's what's really important.
Okay? Thank you, darling. And I wish you so well with all the work you do. When will your book be out? Do you know?
I actually have a lot going on this fall, so I'm really going to be working on it more in the winter, and hopefully next year it will be out.
Wonderful.
So
I'll keep in touch, and I'll keep looking.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for calling in. Okay,
thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have a caller from area code 334. Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hi. What is your question?
Hi. My question is, does the guilt ever go away? And I know it's kind of a vague question, but in my case, I've just realized that, and I guess I didn't just realize, I've always known that my parents have always used me. And I cut ties with my father years ago, but I just recently just cut ties with my mother, you know, maybe about 6 months ago. And, but I've been dealing with a lot of guilt because, like, I don't understand why I feel guilty that they used me, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. You know, narcissistic parents parent through guilt. So your whole relationship and all your attachments to your parents was guilt. The pleasing and all the things that you did to try to keep peace and to try to stay in their good graces, they lay guilt on you. So this is so deep inside of you, this guilt, and it's understandable that you feel it. What do you think about when you... what are the things that make you feel guilty? What goes through your head?
Well, what makes me feel guilty is that I stuck around. I mean, it brings up a lot of issues of anger with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think I'm in like in a lot of confusion right now because, you know, I have children of my own, you know, my wife and I have children. And so, I'm kind of, I don't even know how to explain it.
Okay. So you feel like a bad person because you're abandoning your mom? Is that part of it?
Well, yes, because, you know, I mean, like when I look at my relationship with my sons, like I love my children just, you know, because they're my children, you know, but then I look at, on the other hand, you know, like how my relationship was with my parents and it was chaotic. You know, I mean, it was, do you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
One minute, you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense at all. I don't, you know, it was like at 1 minute, you know, you know, if you didn't do exactly what they said, when they said and how they said, it was like this big guilt trip laid on you.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't just because we love you. You know what I mean? And so
I do.
I don't understand how to feel, you know?
Right. I know. I understand that. Yes. The life of a child in this kind of home is one of smoke, mirrors, and chaos. And it creates an insecurity in the child. I mean, you know, you say you're a parent. You know how important emotional stability is for children, right? Well, as the child of in an environment of this abuse, there is no emotional stability, never, ever, ever, because you never know when things are going to erupt. So, you know, and the confusion that you feel in being able to express yourself is really typical of someone who has been through this kind of abuse. It is very confusing. They, you know, the narcissistic parent is never upfront with you. It's always lies, smoke, mirrors, manipulation. What I discovered with my mother, I didn't even realize this until about a year ago, and I've been doing this work for a long time, that every time she called me, she was manipulating me. It only became apparent to me when my sisters got on board with this whole thing and we started comparing notes. And we realized what she said to each of us was completely different, and it was all a manipulation.
Exactly. See, I have other brothers and sisters, and she plays favorites. I mean, even at a young age, you know what I mean? She played one against the other.
Right. This
always
is called... Right. That's called triangulation. And all narcissists do this. They do it to control the flow of information in the family. And this is the way that they keep the manipulations going. If they, you know, like perhaps like my mother would say something to each of us and say, oh, don't tell your sisters. This is just between you and I. And because each child in a situation like this is vying for the love of this parent, they will sell out anybody in order to get that crumb of affection, you know, because children want love. They want love. So, well, let me ask you this. How much work have you done on healing the old abuse issues?
You know, there's so much, and if I told you... It's such a hard story to believe. You know, at a young age, you know, I was running away a lot, and then I lived in foster care, and then I'd go back home, and, you know, I mean, there's just so much to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then as I got older, it kept getting, you know, more abusive, and then, of course, my parents split up, and then they played one against the other, and you know what I mean? So then as time got older, it just... And when I got married is when I seen things in a different light, you know, and it was basically my wife, you know, who kind of set me straight on a lot of things, you know, and said, hey, wait a minute, that's not right, you know. And so that's when things kind of took a little bit of a turn for me. And so the more time that I spent, you know, with her, you know, and so... That's how I began really seeing things differently. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but, you know, but as far as me spending time, I over about the last probably, I mean, really about the last 4 or 5 years is when I've really fell apart.
Right. Right. Yeah. Couple things, you know, as you were talking. First of all, you said that the abuse got worse as you got older, and it does because, When you're a baby, you know, you give your mother all your attention. But it's normal as you go through the stages of individuation that you pull away from mom. That is just normal. But narcissistic mothers despise that happening. So the more you pull away and become independent, the more the angrier they get. And, and this running away and things like that. I mean, I did the same thing. I rebelled because I couldn't go through these stages normally, like everybody else. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't become an adolescent and then a teenager with just a normal support system. So, you know, and I always thought I was such a rebellious child. But no, it was because I didn't have that safety in the home to do it in a psychologically healthy way. Right?
Right.
Right.
I feel
right.
like I paid my whole life for their anger.
Yes. And you have. And you have. And these feelings, you know, unfortunately, I know it's hard to think about, you know, really getting into doing this work and really taking it apart, and the time that it will take. But what I am going to tell you is that you will feel guilty, you will have anger, you will have all these things arising until you do the work, because it has created, you know, it, your brain was not formed in a healthy way. And until you begin to be able to separate and see, really see, now you have a great support system in your wife, and that's you're so far ahead of the game with that, because she will constantly reinforce to you what's normal and what's not normal. But there has to come a time where within yourself you're able to see that. You're able to see, you know, that this behavior, like, your mother may do something, and you have your wife there to say, well, that's not right. But if your wife wasn't there, would you be able to separate yourself from that situation?
No, and you know why? I'd be like my other brothers. I'd be alcoholics or on drugs right now.
Right. Exactly. So that's why you do have a support system, and it's really important that you do. But the goal is to be able to get to a point where you can understand this. You see, you know, I did a lot of therapy. I don't have guilt feelings anymore, and I'm able to see this clearly. Let me ask you a question about your mom. And I don't know if you were listening to the beginning of the show, but a lot of us feel like we have to stay in touch with our mom, and that we're really, you know, being a bad child if we don't. But our mothers are going on and living perfectly happy lives. They're doing their thing, with or without us. Is that how your mom is?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, she does not need you. She may act like she needs you. She may lay guilt on you that she needs you. She really doesn't need you. And she only wants you if you're going to give her what she wants. And that's sickness. She only wants the most dysfunctional kind of relationship from you, because that feeds her and that makes her happy. But only for a second. Only for a second. So your mom's doing just fine. I guarantee she is. The hardest thing, the bottom line with recovery from this, is getting to the point of acceptance of what it is, that you do not have a mother, because a mother, you have a wife, you have children, you know what a mother is. Your mother was not a mother, just she gave birth to you, and then
right.
she threw you out there, right?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And then I was dumb enough to keep going back and back and back and back, and I still do, you know, up until, you know, 6 months ago, I kept going back. And then I finally just said to myself, I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? Because I almost felt like, you know, like you'd walk up to a door, and you know what, it sounds silly, but you'd go up to a door, somebody would open it up and they'd slap me in the face, and I'd turn around and walk away. Then I'd go back to the door, slap in the face, walk away, you know? And I finally just said, I can't do this anymore.
Right. I mean, we describe it, as survivors, we describe it as like the bird that keeps flying into the door over and over and over again. Yes.
Right.
You were not stupid. Narcissists are they're master manipulators. They are so good at this that they can have you jumping through hoops right and left, and you don't even know where you are anymore. They get you completely discombobulated, confused, you know. This is, you were not dumb. You were manipulated, but your mom, you know, she groomed you for this your entire life. So you were unable to see the difference. I know, I've been there. I understand. The first time I went to my therapist, she said, draw a picture of you and your parents. I drew a picture, and we were all linked together. I didn't know where I ended, you know, I ended, they began. I didn't have a separate identity from my parents. All my thoughts, everything was linked into, you know, oh, how will they feel about this, or how can I please them, or, you know, and I never thought I would get to the point where I could really be able to see those boundaries. And this is why it's so important to do the work. You're going to be a much better parent for having done it. Because some of these tendencies, if you don't do the work, some of these tendencies are going to come out at some point with your kids. How old are your children?
I'm 14 and 15, and no, I don't want any of these this to ever come out with them.
Right, I know.
Never.
I know.
Never.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't
wish
it on anybody, you know.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, and, you know, you may be able to do it. You may be okay. But there's no reason why you need to suffer as an individual because your parents did this to you. You need to get through this. You need to work through these issues. It can be done. The guilt will go away, but you've got to break all this down, and you've got to look at all this, you know, and come to an acceptance of who you are in relation to your parents and who they are, that they aren't really parents. Are you someone who practices religion?
No.
Okay. All right. So you're not hung up on the Ten Commandments thing, right?
No. No.
Okay. Because some people really get hung up on that. And I know others will throw that at you. Oh, you've got to honor your mother and father. God says so, right?
Right.
Right, right. Well, as long as you're not hung up on that, you're a step above the rest. Trust me. Trust me. So,
no, I have a kind of go with the flow attitude anymore.
Well, you know, I understand your pain. Don't come down on yourself for feeling stupid. Don't feel stupid. Don't feel guilty. Your mother is just fine. You're not.
But like my wife tells me all the time, she says, you keep beating yourself up with the names that they called you. You know, your mom and dad mm-hmm. called you all the time. She says, mm-hmm. why do you do that to yourself? You know, I mean, I lay there in bed and it's like this movie keeps playing in my head, you know, of things that have happened and, you know, maybe certain smells or facial expressions from things or, you know what I mean? And
I do.
I don't ask for it. You know, it just happens and it's like, whoa, you know, where did this come from? And,
right.
You know, it could be something 30 years ago that happened. And
of course,
40
it
years
plays
ago
like a record. It plays yeah. like a record in your head. Right. Okay. You know, I've written, I can't remember if I did a video on this or wrote articles about it, but those who have not lived in this kind of environment will never understand. She can support you, but she's never going to understand why you do what you do.
No,
that doesn't
and you know
mean,
why? I mean, I tell her all the time, I mean, you know, because we try to talk about this. And I just said, listen, I said, at 7 years old, you were playing with Barbie dolls, and I'm running away. You know, not at seven. You know, I ran away when I was like 11. But you know, the
right.
difference is your mom and dad were, you know, I mean, it was a totally, we came from two different worlds here, you know?
Right.
You,
right. Her
you
mind
know, her parents,
will never be able to wrap around this. She will never be able to fully understand. It's great that she supports
no.
you, but she will never understand. And all these things are haunting you. I don't want you to suffer like this, and it, only because I know that you don't have to, and I know that this can all go away. I mean, my sisters suffered into their 60s, same kind of things, crying jags, depression, serious depressions, and things like that, all from childhood. That's 60 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is completely normal for someone who has been so seriously abused. This is one of the worst. I remember my therapist said to me, this is one of the worst cases of abuse I've ever seen. And I didn't even know I'd been abused. So we're very confused. We're very confused. That's why when you work with somebody who understands this, who will constantly reinforce what is normal and what is not normal, eventually your brain will be able to separate it, but it's going to take work. And it's not going to go away until you do that, you know. And I recommend that you work with somebody who is very experienced with this, because if they're not, they will lay guilt trips on you and tell you what you're doing is wrong. And I hear that all the time. People come to me and say, my therapist makes me feel worse. You've got to work with somebody who is an expert in this disorder, okay?
Okay.
And it will, I promise you, if you do the time, put in the time, this will go away and you don't have to suffer anymore, okay?
All right.
That's my best advice for you. You know, I do counseling. You don't have to see me, but everything that I do is on my website, randygfine.com. It's RANDIGFINE.com. Visit my website, read my articles, listen to my videos, listen to my radio shows. I did a 6-part series on this Blog Talk radio show about narcissistic personality disorder, which is helping a lot of people. Check out everything I do. Read and read and listen and listen and listen. And I think it's going to help you get on your way, okay?
All right, thank you.
I appreciate your call, and I wish you well in your recovery. I do.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care.
Sorry.
So our time is up for today, and I want to thank all my callers that have called in today and asked their questions. I will be doing this show. I will be taking your calls and answering your questions on the second Friday of every month. Next one, this is an easy date to remember, will be September 11th. That's going to be a hard one to forget. So the number to call in is 424-220-1801. Call me on September 11th with your questions, and I will be happy to answer them. So our time is up for today, but I want to let you know I also have recently started a Facebook page called Compassionate Support for Narcissistic Abuse Survivors with Randy Fine, and I really hope to see you there. Please like the page. The more support you can give the page, the more support I can give you and others. So please visit the page and like it. The web address for this radio show is blogtalkradio.com/randy-fine. Randy is always RANDI-FINE, FINE. There's a 5-part series that I did on NPD, which will answer so many of your questions. So I really encourage you to listen to that. I'm putting up YouTube videos all the time on different topics. So under Randy Fine, so just check it out. And all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again to my callers for asking their questions, and thanks to you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.